Springbok 9:30 dossier. Every day at this time, we bring you dramatized stories of excitement, romance, and suspense from the files of interesting and fascinating people.
We present The Veil of Darkness, a story of violence and intrigue by Ron Evans. A long column of escaped prisoners of war and internees was at last entering the forbidding Rajek Pass. I had gone back with a squad of men to lay mines, which we hoped would delay the imminent arrival of a panzer group. Major Scheer, who commanded a battalion of Waffen-SS and with whom we held a shaky truce, watched with his adjutant. The two men stood beside a half-track carrier and watched the distant fugitives marching into the pass. Major Ramsden had just been told that the panzer group could be expected at any time and pondered whether to let Major Scheer know. Deciding to do so, he walked with Captain Saunders to the hot track.
You have bad news, Major Ramsden.
Yes, one could certainly say that, but I think it's only fair that I tell you. Your panzer group will shortly arrive.
Today? You mean today?
A matter of hours.
How do you know?
One of my officers patrolling north of here saw the loom of their lights far up the valleys. There's no other explanation for moving lights.
I see. Then you know what this means.
The truce is at an end.
Yeah. When will your people be inside the pass?
About 30 minutes.
There was no need for you to tell me this, you know.
I thought it best to warn you.
Well, thank you, Major. Your gesture is appreciated. We will return to our men and move forward to the entrance of the pass. By that time, your column will be safely inside. I hope to have the pass sealed off before the tanks arrive. Then we are at war again. It has been a brief pleasure knowing you, Major Ramsden. Perhaps one day we might meet again.
In an atmosphere of peace, I hope. Not as a prisoner.
Yeah, it is what I meant. One part of me wishes you good luck and success, yet my duty forbids me to allow it.
I understand.
Come, Fraser. We have a lot to do.
Yeah, ma'am.
Well, he won't be able to use his half track in the past.
He is. Saint Ryan told me what it was like.
Auf Wiedersehen.
Well, now to war.
When the German half-track had disappeared from sight, Ramsden and Saunders trudged over the rough ground to where the last remnants of the column were moving into the pass. It seemed more like a huge railway cutting, with steep slopes rising high on each side. Looking at it, Ramsden realized why it was called the Veil of Darkness. Because only the very early morning sun could penetrate its depths. The slopes were rocky, where little vegetation was able to grow. Even at the entrance, huge boulders made a passage so difficult that the men could walk no more than 5 abreast. Difficult for travel, but thankfully easy to defend. As for myself, it was nearly 9 when my party had finished laying the mines. One of my men, an Australian, listened at the ground, claiming he could hear the sound of approaching tanks if they were less than 5 miles away. He heard nothing. Then we made our way back to Rajek Pass, just in time to see half a dozen German half-track vehicles coming to a stop at the entrance, and a number of SS troopers deploying themselves along the trail. There was only one way we could get through. My ragged party formed up behind me, and we walked towards the pass entrance, like a schoolteacher taking his class out on a nature course. My heart was pounding as the SS soldiers stared at us, but none made a move to stop us as we passed by. One cheeky Aussie even gave them a thumbs-up sign, or something rather similar. Then we came into the shadowy gloom of the pass and hurried on to join the rest of our column. About a quarter of a mile along, we met up with Sergeant Ryan and his 40-strong rear guard. Here, the pass had narrowed to no more than 15 feet, and all the mule carts had been abandoned. Ryan's men were hauling them together and building a barricade between two immense boulders.
There you are, Lieutenant. We was getting worried about you. What's going on back there?
The SS are blocking the entrance. We had to walk right past them.
It's a wonder they didn't shoot at you. The truce is over, you know.
Well, it is when the panzers meet up with Waffen SS. And according to the ear of Corporal Dennison, they're still a few miles away yet.
There's no Tiger tank going to make it up this pass. When the Jerry's come, the Laffey will shanks his pony. I think we can give him a rough time, sir.
I don't think you'll see them for a while yet. If I were you, Sergeant, I'd let most of your lads get a kip.
Ah, that's all organized, sir. Once we finish this barricade. Oh, this is a gloomy hole, isn't it?
Yeah, but use it to its best advantage.
Oh, don't worry about that, sir. But tell me, if you was in the Germans' boots, how would you go about trying to get past this?
Well, at night.
That's what I was thinking.
I'd send men with small arms climbing up the sides to try and outflank you.
Well, they'd know if they did. You know how sound travels at night, and inside the walls of this pass, you'll be able to hear a butterfly tying his bootlaces. Anyway, I'll send a few of the lads up the sides myself, just to make sure.
Such a pity we've got no mortars. If you could hit the sides of the pass down there, you'd bring down tons of rock on the enemy.
You had to keep them on the hop. I hear the partisans had mortars, but they've got off and taken them. It's your young lady that knows the way through, isn't it, sir?
Yes, that's right.
How long does she reckon it'll take to get out?
Well, it's hard to say, Sergeant. A week, perhaps even longer. First, we have to find the goat track that will lead us over the pass, and that can be a problem.
Well, me and the lads can hold up the jerrys for quite a long time. There's no need to worry about that, sir.
I'm glad to hear it. A lot depends on you now. I caught up with the column a mile farther up the pass and reported to Colonel Horton, who was walking with Major Ramsden.
So, the panzer tanks were not as close as you thought, eh, Lieutenant?
According to Corporal Dennison's hearing, sir, he stuck his ear to the ground and listened.
Rather odd behavior?
Yes, well, he's an Australian, sir.
Oh, yes, that explains it.
Well, I mean, it's an aborigine trick. He says you can hear something approaching 5 miles away.
Sounds fishy to me. Eh, Ramsden, what do you think?
Well, it's possible. I've heard the American Indians do the same thing. At a time like this, I think we need to know every trick there is.
Quite so, quite so.
Well, Sale, we've kept you very busy, so I expect you'd like to see your girl.
Well, yes, please.
It's time she was brought into the picture, Sale. She can't speak any English, so you'll have to find out from her as much as you can.
We need to know how far we have to travel like this before we begin to climb. And by then, we'll need to know the exact location of this route over the pass and then down to the coast.
I think I told you, sir, that she isn't exactly positive.
We need something more substantial than that. What do you say, Ramsden?
Well, I suggest that after you've had a good sleep, you and the young lady go ahead of the column and find this route.
Yes, I was about to suggest that myself.
I'll see you're not bothered again, and you can leave at first light tomorrow.
Very good, sir.
Right, Lieutenant, carry on.
Good man, Colonel.
Naturally. Which is why he was selected for field intelligence work. A pity we can't talk to that girl ourselves. I feel uneasy, you know. Our entire survival now depends on her memory, and she can't even speak English. Really, it's quite extraordinary.
I think it'll be all right, sir.
Well, I hope so, Ramsden. I say, wouldn't it be awful if she turned out to be a Nazi spy and she marched us straight into a trap?
Well, if you recall, Colonel, we were already in a trap, and at present we're marching out of it.
Yes, of course.
Besides, if this girl is a spy, I'm sure Sale would know it by now. As you say, he's a good intelligence officer.
On past the body of the column and found Violetta helping the other women and their children. She was relieved and delighted to see me, and we walked together through the bleak valley. I soon found myself carrying a little girl with pink cheeks and blonde hair, when, in reality, I felt utterly exhausted after the long night and longed for the time when we would camp and I could close my eyes and let reality slip away for a while. At noon, Major Shear just finished blockading the entrance of the pass when we heard the first explosion far along the valley leading north.
What was that?
It came from up the valley.
Partisans. They are attacking the panzers. Shall I take our half-tracks up there?
Nein, Leutnant, wait.
But they may need help, Major.
The tanks can easily withstand an attack from the partisans. But I would say that explosion came from a mine. Yeah, the Britishers have laid mines behind them to delay the tanks. Another one, you see. If you take half-tracks up the valley, you'll also run into mines. It takes a lot to destroy our latest Tiger tanks, so let us not concern ourselves with them. We have our own business to attend to. You were telling me about Leutnant Becker.
Yeah, Herr Major. He went half a kilometer into the pass with a patrol. The Britishers have blocked it with their carts.
Is the blockade manned?
Yeah. Leutnant Becker estimated about 30 to 40 men.
We will make an assault on it later this afternoon.
It will be very difficult, Herr Major. The sides are very steep with little cover, and the foot of the pass is only 5 meters wide where the barricade has been placed.
Very well. I shall reconnoiter it myself later, but first I will wait for the Tigers to arrive.
If they arrive.
They'll get through. A thought has just struck me. If one of our Tigers could get as far as this barricade, it could blow it to rubble.
Leutnant Becker was most emphatic, Herr Major. It is impossible for a tank to reach us. The valley floor is littered by huge boulders. Not even one of our half-tracks could approach the barricade. That is why the British have abandoned their carts.
So, it is infantrymen's work. Very well, Weser. We will overwhelm it by sheer weight of manpower. I can't allow 40 men to hold back a whole battalion of Waffen-SS.
An hour later, a group of 17 Tiger tanks rolled into Major Shear's position at the entrance to the pass. From one of them emerged a tall, blonde, youngish man who introduced himself as Major Franz Dieter. Shear gave him a quick rundown of the position. Dieter looked disappointed.
Oh, I was hoping to catch these Britishers sandwiched between us. But now they've gone into this pass.
It could be difficult, yeah?
For you, impossible.
Why?
I sent a patrol down earlier, and they reported back that it was impossible for any kind of vehicle.
Oh, our new Tigers are wonderful beasts, Major Shear. It may surprise you what they can do. Lieutenant Grassler, go a kilometer into the pass and report back.
Yeah, Herr Commandant.
He could get stuck there.
Oh, I don't think so. Now then, Mayor, your HQ have desperately been trying to get in touch with you.
Yeah, our radio equipment was smashed when we were stopped by American planes.
They want you to return and lead these fugitives to us.
Yeah, I shall use your radio to call up General Volder. But first, I want to see how you, your Lieutenant Kreisler, fares in the past. We heard explosions earlier.
Yeah, we ran into mines. Three of my tanks had their tracks damaged. Oh, not seriously. My engineers are repairing them. We were supposed to pick up a guide, but he didn't arrive. A man called Kozak.
We have him with us.
We waited for him. What is he doing here?
He was bringing a message to me when the Britishers intercepted him. He escaped, but it was too late by that time for him to meet you.
From what I hear, these fugitives are using very aggressive tactics.
Yeah, they were being aided by local partisan groups. Twice my column was ambushed.
I'd like to see them try to ambush a Tiger tank.
Can I offer you some coffee?
Oh, yeah. That would be most welcome.
Gruber, bring some coffee and tell Korda to provide refreshment to Major Dieter's men.
Yeah, Herr Major.
I should have gone with Grassler to see for myself. These partisans you mentioned, did they go into the pass with the Britishers?
No, I don't think so. There's something about Project Pass that the locals fear. It has a very bad reputation.
Oh? For what?
When I questioned Kozak, he told me It was based more on superstition than anything else. Something about a Bulgar army being trapped inside and wiped out by the Turks a few hundred years ago.
Yeah, like we will wipe out the British just now. Strange how history repeats itself, yeah? They are fools to have gone into the past.
It surprised me until Cosette told me there is a way through to the coast.
Oh, there's not. My brigade commandant checked and was told that once inside the pass, the Britishers were finished.
Everyone thought that. They are wrong.
Oh?
This man Cosette, he is one of the few who knows the route.
And the Britishers? Do they know?
Yeah, they do. And somehow, I don't think your wonderful new tanks will be very good at mountaineering.
Ah, you hear that? Edmund Gressler is giving a demonstration to the enemy.
He can't have gone very deep into the pass. In my opinion, my auditor, I think your tiger is in trouble.
Edmund Gressler's tank was indeed in trouble. It had nosed its way down the narrow track, maneuvering around the scattered boulders and into a more open position. Two of Sergeant Ryan's men had been stationed high up the rocky slope and, on sighting the tank, had opened fire, mainly as a warning to those at the barricade, but also to keep the enemy pinned inside its steel walls. The tank made an attempt to turn and then hit a mine which blew off part of its track. The turret swiveled and elevated as the gunners tried to pinpoint the snipers, but to no effect. All they could see was bare rock. A few minutes after the firing stopped, Gressler decided to abandon the tank. He and his men scrambled out from the turret, and the two snipers found themselves with real targets. Three of the tank crew fell under their fire before the others escaped from their line of fire. Gressler was one of the lucky ones.
It's only what I expected, my dear Major.
A fool should not have abandoned his tank. He knows I would have sent assistance when he didn't return.
If the Britishers have snipers laid up the slope, then you would have suffered even more casualties,
that
sir.
That is not the point.
I think you will have to face the fact that it is impossible to use your tanks in the pass.
Yeah.
And I think now it is time I called up my HQ and explained this whole position.
During that morning, Colonel Horden had decided to send Captain Saunders and 10 other Americans to join Sergeant Ryan, while the Russians and Poles were sent ahead up the pass. Saunders arrived just after the Tiger tank had been abandoned.
He must be bloody stupid to send a tank down here.
Yeah, and how?
I couldn't believe my ears when I heard it. And then the lads up the hills, they opened fire on it.
Yeah?
And when he tried to turn, it hit one of them mines and we put there this morning, you remember?
Hmm?
Oh, it was beautiful. It blew one of the tracks clean off, it did. And after a few minutes, the crew abandoned it and the lads got three of them. They got three, I tell you. And the rest, they scampered like rabbits back up the pass.
So, Sergeant Ryan, we have a Tiger tank, huh?
Well, sort of. We've not been down to take a look as yet.
Oh.
It only happened about half an hour ago, you know.
Are your men still up there in the rocks?
One of them came back to report and I sent four more out. The rest of the lads are trying to get in some kip. It could be a long and a very busy night.
Yeah, I guess you're right, Sergeant. Well, if they come at all, it'll be under cover of darkness, that's for sure.
I hear that you're taken over here, are you, Captain?
That's right, Sergeant. But all orders will be relayed through you, of course.
Yeah, that's fine, sir, yes. Some of them might not take kindly to taking orders from a Yank, if you don't mind me speaking the truth.
Oh, that's okay, Sergeant. I know now where I stand.
And I see you brought some of your lads.
Yeah. And in view of what you've just said, I'll keep them under my own direct command. Well, what are your plans for after dark?
I'm placing 10 men up on each side of the pass, and if the Jerry comes at us, I think he'll try to outflank us by using the slopes.
Mm.
I don't think we'll see any more tanks. Well, that's our bet on anyway. Anyway, That one over there is blocking the way. And Wilson said it's almost as effective as our barricade here.
Yeah, I guess it must be. Hey, how about a bit of adventure, Sergeant? Let's go along and see if maybe we can make use of it.
Oh, you know, there's something in that, sir. We might be able to use the guns against their former owners.
Using the shortwave radio provided by Major Dieter, Scheer got into direct contact with General Walder. After making a hasty explanation for his inability to make earlier contact, Major Scheer made his most telling point. The fugitives were almost certain to escape to the coastal plain unless he was given permission to pursue them into Rajek Pass. A few minutes later, he rejoined Major Dieter in the crudely erected lean-to, which now served as his command point.
My orderly has been looking after you.
Ah, yeah, good. That was very good. It was my first real meal in 3 days.
My previous orders are cancelled, by the way. I am to pursue the Britishers and prevent them from reaching the coast.
Is that so? And that is what you wanted, yeah?
I won't deny it.
Very well. I will call up my own HQ shortly and explain there is nothing that we can do to assist.
That's right. Not unless your tigers have wings.
I shall suggest that I am sent round the mountains and south again along the coast. Perhaps I can cut off the escape route.
I think it will be a waste of time.
No?
My men will catch them long before they can leave the pass.
Well, Major, we shall see. You admitted to me earlier that these sheep you are herding have long teeth and a lot of cunning. You may have need of my assistance yet.
Before you call up your HQ, my dear Mayor Dieter, try some of my cognac. Gruber, bring the cognac.
Yeah, Herr Mayor.
Ah, it will make it easier to explain the loss of one of my tanks.
Tanks, Ryan, but I'm sure we can make some use of it.
But the guns are fixed, but the turrets swiveling the elevation are working. What we could do is fire a couple of shells back down the pass.
You mean a sort of defiance?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, let's do it then. You know how the gun operates?
Well, it's a bit fiddly, but I can work it out. Huh? Hey, Taffy, take 3 men up past them boulders and keep an eye out for the enemy, will you?
Okay, Sarge.
All right, come on, Captain, let's get inside and work it out.
Yeah. I think a little higher.
Hold on. That'll do it.
I got no idea where it'll hit.
Well, it'll go in the right direction. That's all that counts, sir.
Yeah, okay, then. Ready when you are.
All right. Well, here goes. Hey, the saints preserve us.
Oh, like exploding a firecracker in a bottle.
Did you hear that, sir? It hit something.
Yeah, I wish I knew what.
Come on, sir. Let's send him another.
Well, why not?
All right, you ready, sir?
When you are.
Right. Here you are, Jerry's. Another present is on its way.
This must be shaking me up as much as the enemy.
At least we know when it's coming.
Yeah. Hey, say, I bet we're bringing down, half the mountainside.
Well, so long as it's that way and not behind us. Are you ready for another, sir?
Carry on, Sergeant.
We were at least 4 kilometers farther down the pass. Colonel Horden was concerned, believing the Germans were storming Ryan's barricade. But the biggest surprise was to the Germans. The first shell landed on a hillside, a few hundred meters beyond the entrance of the pass, bringing down tons of rock. The second landed even closer, causing damage to three half-tracks from the ensuing landslide. The third shell, and the ones that followed it, also took their toll. Darkness was written by Ron Evans, produced by Yolan Dotlin, and directed by Henry Diffenthal.
Springbok 930 Dossier, dramatized for broadcasting and brought to you on Springbok Radio.